2 weeks back, the gospel reading that we had for Mass was the passage where Jesus says to the disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And I still remember the homily that I prepared for that very vividly. I spoke about suffering, I talked about crosses, I talked about the meaning and the purpose of our crosses. Today, on the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, I want to read a quote by Father Raniero Cantalamessa. He is actually a Franciscan Capuchin priest, and he was the household preacher, the papal preacher for Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict. Very deep man. And this quote is very different from the whole idea of we having to take this cross and follow Jesus. It's almost like the cross is oppressive. But here, Father, what Father Cantalamessa says. He says, "It's no longer you who carry the cross. It's the cross that carries you. The cross does not crush. Rather, the cross exalts you." It's very rare for September 14th to fall on a Sunday. This year it does. And so this feast that is normally celebrated on September 14th gets overlooked, because if it does not fall on a Sunday, the church together does not celebrate this feast in this way. So I'm really very pleased to talk about the cross. And I would like to take each of the three readings, and I want to draw a point for reflection on each of these three readings. I want to talk about the cross only in my third point, but I'm building up towards that in my first and second. I want to talk first about the evil within. Now, why am I talking about this? Today's first reading is a story of the people of Israel fleeing from Egypt, and they journey through the desert before they enter into the promised land. While they're on the way to the desert, they're bitten by poisonous snakes, and many of them died. Now, the reason for this misfortune is even more shocking. It's God who sent these serpents into their midst as a punishment. And I asked myself, these people who were slaves for 400 years, they could have done without this in the desert, isn't it? Why oppress them further in the desert? But I think the lesson of this story of the serpents in the desert really is a lesson about the way evil works. Evil can come both from without and from within. And just because the people of Israel were set free from slavery, which I call the evil without, the evil from outside, does not mean that they were free from the evil within. The power for internal freedom was a choice that the Israelites had to make from within them. True freedom could only come if they would form their lives according to God's commandments. And this they found very hard. So they thought that because they're free from slavery now, they are free people. But they had not dealt with the potential for evil within. So you hear in today's reading, what do? They constantly grumbled against God. They constantly rebelled against God. And sometimes it was for flimsy reasons, just the quality of food. And they were constantly tempted to erect altars to the other gods. So here's the lesson for us from all of this. Folks, we may have very little power over the evil outside us. So for example, we're talking about ISIS in Syria and Iraq these days. You and I have no control over that, but we do have control over the power to evil within us. The lesson then is simple. If we allow the evil within to control us, if we succumb to the evil within us, then evil will overpower us. To succumb to the evil within us is to embrace death, pretty much like the serpents in the desert. So that's the first reading. The second reading talks about humility, obedience, and self-emptying as the secret power over the evil within us. So first reading is about the evil. The second reading is there an antidote, as it were? Is there some way out of the power of evil within us? And I'm saying yes, and that comes from the cross of Christ. So the second reading from the letter to the Philippians, and by the way, it's a hymn. It's a beautifully poetic hymn. I love this reading. If you get a chance sometime, memorize it. I almost know it word to word because it just is so beautiful and powerful. Now, this reading bears great significance in light of the two things that the people of Israel encountered. First, slavery, and secondly, their rebellion against God. The hymn is about Christ, and it is said about him that he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. In other words, Jesus became exactly that from which God freed the Israelites. God freed them from being slaves, but his own son, God makes a slave. Jesus became a slave because he did not count equality with God something to be grasped. The best way to understand that is that Jesus did not claim who he was. In fact, he claimed to be a slave. Jesus became a slave by emptying himself, by becoming obedient unto death, even death on the cross. And here's the point. The obedience that Jesus practiced in life, in suffering, and in his death is what the Israelites should have practiced in the desert. That's what they should have done. So Jesus conquers evil both inside him and outside him by his humility, his self-emptying, and his obedience. For us then, actually, the part that I'm going to read just now is not included in the readings that we have today. This is just before the readings that we hear. What does this mean for us? Here's what Paul says. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interest, but for everyone else as well. Have among yourselves the same attitude that is also yours in Jesus Christ. My goodness, what a powerful sentence that is. If you want to empty yourself of the evil within, then Paul is saying you got to have the mind of Christ. And what's the mind of Christ? Not counting equality with God something to be grasped, rather emptying himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. So this is what we have to learn. It takes nothing short of Christ-like humility, obedience, and self-emptying to gain power over evil. It takes nothing short of the mind of Christ to develop this kind of spiritual maturity. And so Paul is saying we are invited today to have the same mind as that of Christ. And that brings us to the significance of the cross and the reason for today's feast. Folks, to see God as the God who further oppressed the Israelites by sending serpents in the desert is to miss the point. So even though I asked the question, why did God oppress them further, it's the wrong question. It's really to miss the point. God is God of the living and the dead. The God who sent serpents into their midst is also the God who found a way for them to live. So God found a way to bring life in the midst of evil and despair and death. So the serpent that is raised on a pole, which then all the Israelites that were bitten by the snake look and then they live, is only a prototype of what is to really come. And what is to come? Jesus says this in today's gospel reading. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. In other words, the serpent lifted on the pole is not the limit of God's love. That's not a symbol of God's love. It's Jesus lifted on the cross that is the sign of God's love. This becomes then the true point of life and our salvation. So Jesus says, God so loved the world that he lifted a serpent on a pole. No. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That is the power of the cross. In other words, in God's immeasurable love, God wills that all humanity should be set free from evil within and evil without. And Jesus saves us all by his humility, his obedience, and his self-emptying death on the cross. That's why Father Cantalamessa says, it's no longer you who carry the cross. It's the cross that carries you. The cross does not crush. The cross exalts you. Folks, the cross of Christ is not our burden. The cross of Christ is our salvation, our hope, and our redemption. So I'm going to conclude with these words of St. Paul in today's second reading. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This Eucharist can be our way of exalting the cross of Christ. People of God said,